Welcome to No Filter Sports, July 4th weekend edition. Eli Zarrett, Bob Page, Denny McClain, wishing you all a happy holiday on the 243rd anniversary of our country. We celebrate it all weekend long, even though we are recording on today, July 4th.
Not only that, I said on Twitter when I informed everybody that we were, in fact, recording a show, as we are on July 4th, take us to the beach, for Christ's sake. Can we go to your backyard barbecue? Yeah. Please? Just set us up and bring us along.
I'm having a barbecue today.
You? I wasn't invited.
We're going to have hot dogs and also vegan hot dogs.
You know, don't give me my eye appointment. You don't
invite me to dinner.
You know, I'm all alone right now.
Pick up the phone. Make your own appointment. But I can help
you're
you
eating a hot dog today, Eli?
No. I'm eating a vegan hot dog.
Yeah, exactly.
However,
that's what I thought.
My daughter, who is a vegan, kind of got me into it, at least. You know, part time, loves the Nathan's hot dog eating contest, and she's all pumped up to see if Joey Chestnut can make
That's our lead story, folks. The three of us were just BSing before we started taping. What should we lead with today? There's no the Nathan's Coney Island hot dog eating contest. Let me tell you, man, the chips are down, the tension is rising. I can feel the vibes all the way here in Manhattan
about
this exciting sports event.
Can Matt Stoney upset him? After all, he beat Chestnut back in 2015, only to be defeated again in a record performance of 74 dogs last year. But it's a lot of fun.
I know you don't eat the regular hot dogs, you know, with pork and beef and what have you. You eat this vegan thing. If you saw how a vegan was made compared to a real hot dog, how it's made, you wouldn't eat the vegan either.
Really?
Yeah, really.
You think I'd rather eat pig snouts?
What do you know about that? That's BS. What do you know about that?
He doesn't know
it's plants. Well, you don't either about this. Don't talk.
I don't.
It's plant-based.
Speaking of food, you used to bring in nuts, cashews. Now you're bringing in Kit Kats. So your diet is going down the crapper also.
And he's lecturing us about
good food.
Because the store I normally stop at, they don't do peanuts anymore for some reason.
Yeah,
we'll have to find a new store.
But you talking about the diet, by the way, is pretty funny.
Kind of an oxymoron.
Anyway.
Eli, he doesn't eat peanuts anymore because of what I said to him. Remember this about a month or so after the show ended?
What?
I told him that one time, I think I was a kid on WJR, I had had some nuts at my desk and that I had to, you know, go into the studio and go on the air and do a show. You get those little tiny fragments of nuts when you eat them, and they lodge in your throat, and you don't know about it. And suddenly, you're coughing to beat the band live on radio or TV, and it's kind of embarrassing.
Anyway,
in time for our next show, I'm going to send him a bag of nuts.
Speaking of fat guys, Peter King, the notorious
what
NFL—
What the hell do you mean, speaking of fat guys?
Well, he's kind of overweight, but Peter King—
Yeah, he sure is.
Was because last night, or was it Tuesday maybe— ESPN had a 30 for 30 on the hot dog eating contest. Ridiculous.
Well, now you're lying to our audience. Now you're lying to our audience.
It's true. A 90-minute. I told my daughter.
They did?
Yes.
Yeah.
And so Peter King tweeted, it's a waste of food. A fifth of the children in America go to bed hungry, and we're wasting this food. He says it's disgusting. And, you know, it's pretty, he got 2,500 responses.
Well, now he thinks he's.
And his last line, of course, is why don't you guys just mail all those hot dogs to me instead?
Well, you know, now he thinks because he does 30-30, he thinks he's a guru on food. I mean, come on, look in the mirror to begin with.
Well,
and before we go any further, just hang on a second. You made a number of comments last week, and you got a Twitter beat down that's second to none. So I think we need to address that, don't we?
Well, okay, we can. We can. When I tweeted out the last show, I put a pic.
If people were not with us on the last show, tell everybody what you said.
That's
again.
What we're getting ready to do.
What I did, what we talked about on the show, and then I showed the shot of Miguel Cabrera walking back to the dugout as strike three that he flailed at low and outside, a pitch that could have easily been a passed ball and was. He should have run it out, but he didn't. And the Tiger announcers just kind of brushed over it. So I wrote 30 million. I showed the picture, 30 million here. Apparently not enough for Miguel Cabrera to run out of drop third strike with the Tigers down 2-1 in the eighth. The icon that his Hispanic teammates idolize shows zero leadership, watches the Nat Suzuki chase it, and just saunters back to the dugout. Disgraceful. Well, Chris McCoskey, who I really like, I've known him for 20 or 30 years, a beat writer for the Tigers, and he works his butt off, retweeted what I said. He goes, Eli Zarrett says, Says a guy who hasn't been in a clubhouse in decades and hasn't the slightest idea what Cabrera fights with chronic knee pain. Cheap sniper shot, Eli. You're better than that. To which I responded to saying, Chris, I don't know how to do this, but I didn't. I just responded.
You know
to
what?
Him.
I got this stuff right in front of me. Why don't you let me read what you responded? Eli, yes, he's fought back. Hamstring, biceps, calf, ankle, as well as chronic knee pain. He hasn't forgotten how to hit. His body won't allow him. Regardless, how could you defend him not running on a drop strike late in a one-run game? It's an awful message to young players who idolize him. And some PC idiots out there, which is what they are, somehow interpret this conversation as you being a racist or ethnocentric, because I was the one on the show. I was the one who said that the Latino players in that locker room idolize him.
Then he said it to me, and I also said,
and the other guys do too. So what's the beef?
That's what I get.
Let me personally add something. Anybody who's ever played at the major league level has lots of pain. There's no question you got to have a lot of pain, because after a long period of time, the body really, really starts to suffer. Whether it's biceps, your back, your ankle, your calves, whatever it might be, it takes it. I had over 200 cortisone shots. I can tell you what pain's all about if you want to play that game, and if you want to continue to sustain yourself, you're going to do what you have to do it. And you know what? But not to be able to or not to want to run the first base is the single easiest thing a major league anything can do. 90 feet. That's all he didn't even have to run 90 feet.
You just got
to
draw a throw.
Just draw a throw.
It's fundamental.
So minor league and so bush.
Otherwise, when you hit a fly ball to the outfield, why not just walk back to the dugout? Because the chances are the guy's going to catch it.
Absolutely.
So if as Chris McCoskey writes, that Miggy's going through all this horrible pain,
quit.
Then don't play.
That's exactly right.
If you can't run out a missed third strike at a 2-1 game in the eighth inning because your knee's so bad, then don't play.
That's exactly right.
Right. Well, and you know, I think I try and look at it from Chris's standpoint, and I get it.
Who did not respond to your request to join us on this show, by the way.
I think, you know, first of all, the job of a beat writer is really, really hard.
It is.
For 7 years or 6 years, I traveled with the Pistons. I had first class. We walked right on the Piston plane, treated like kings, fed gourmet food, get there 1 minute before the flight leaves. These beat writers, they're crisscrossing the country. They got to make their own reservations. They're flying commercial. They're renting cars. They're making hotel reservations. They're showing up early at the ballpark. You're with a losing team. It is a tough job. There is no glamour in there. There is no glamour at all. And I just looked last night. McCoskey tweeted 20 times during that game. He's a hardworking reporter. He's done it for the Wings, the Pistons, and the Tigers. So maybe
he covered the FLs too.
Yeah, maybe. So he's done all. So maybe in his frustration, he looks at me as an interloper. He's right.
Hang on one second.
Go ahead.
He chooses to do that job. He can get transferred to another department. He could go write Dear Abby columns if he wants, but he chooses to be on the.
I'm not saying he doesn't love it, but it's a tough job.
It may well be a tough job, but don't complain about it.
Yeah,
come on.
No, I don't think he is, Danny.
No, he's not complaining.
Here's one of the reasons that is such a tough job. As opposed to a columnist who might come in once or twice a week and talk to somebody and can write whatever he really feels. If you're a beat writer in any sport, you got to live with these guys every day of your life. And if you write anything controversial or that a player thinks is unfair, you're seeing him the next day in the locker room, and it could get ugly. So that's why you rarely see beat writers write a lot of controversial stuff.
And the other thing is, he's right. I'm not there every day, although it hasn't been decades. Trust me, I don't need to go. I spent a lot of time watching this team, and I know people in the front office. I talk to people. I got a pretty good idea what's happening without knowing many of the players personally. So he sees Cabrera limping around the locker room. He sees him coming out of the trainer's room. He knows he's in pain. Well, I know that too, because it's obvious. As I said to Chris, I think I said it right. I think he read it. He hasn't forgotten how to hit. His body won't. I'm not knocking him for that he's hurt. But the point is, you know, it is what it is. He should have run it out. And so the fact that I may not see him limping around the locker room doesn't mean I appreciate how much pain he's in, but there's a story deeper than the pain here.
But let me ask you a question. Why don't they allow the writers to travel with the ball team?
Too much stuff happens on the plane.
Hang on a minute. I was on an airplane for 14 years. I can tell you what happens on a plane. Nothing bad.
Can't.
In 14 years, I never saw an event. Never saw an event, and we chartered a plane 100%. Well, we never went commercial, never one time.
That's not the issue. You're right. The issue is that you're supposed to maintain, allegedly, a journalistic distance. And so in the old days, the sports writers all took the trains back in the Babe Ruth days and beyond that.
Yeah,
they were all buddy-buddy.
I'm talking about ahead of that.
Well, I'm just saying, but to keep journalism allegedly journalism and not biased, you don't let the players take things for free from the team. They can't treat them to meals and stuff like that. So there are restrictions.
That's true.
Try and keep the separation.
But
that's why I
got to tell you something.
It makes
a
miserable life on the travel.
When we did our traveling in the charters with the buses and the planes, the writers sat in a certain section on the airplane. Mm-hmm. Period, and they left everybody alone. And if they saw players out at night, playing pinochle or doing whatever else you want to call whatever pinochle could be equate to from time to time, if you know what I mean,
right.
They never wrote about it. And what I've always said, and you've heard me say this a lot, thank God we didn't have cameras back then. Oh, my God,
Well, that's
God,
just
Lord.
The point that I was making, Denny. That's why writers are banned from a lot of these flights, because boys will be boys.
Right, right.
They're going to get drunk. A lot of guys like to play cards. Maybe somebody doesn't like somebody on the team to begin with.
Yeah.
They might even get into a pushing, shoving fight.
Nobody
wants writers to write about that stuff.
Right.
And one of the first guys to ban writers from his flights was Judd Heathcote. Judd was super paranoid when he was head coach at Michigan State, and he wouldn't let writers travel anymore on a team plane.
Quite famously, early 2000s, don't know the year, on the Piston plane, I wasn't there, I didn't work there then, Christian Laettner and Jerry Stackhouse got into a fight. And they couldn't have reporters on the plane. Now, the reason I could fly in the plane with Kelser and Blaha, etc., is because we were paid by the team. I couldn't say anything really nasty or I would get fired. Trust me, we saw plenty. I've told a couple of the stories, like Kwame Brown's when Rasheed Wallace is late saying, what time do a 10 o'clock plane leave? But, you know, aside from that, you know, I will
admit a couple of things. There were several occasions that players, and I won't identify them, but there were several players who had words with the guys that were traveling with us on the bus and planes. One guy played first base. Another guy played second base. I don't know if you know who those guys are, but they were quite upfront when they disagreed with a call or a story or something that was misquoted. They really got in the writer's face. I mean, it's serious. And, of course, on one occasion, Mayo Smith, who was probably not the most nimble guy at the time, had to break it up before it got out of hand. And that was, as a matter of fact, that was in New York, and it happened on a bus going to the airport after a three-game series.
I have been bodily thrown out of Billy Martin's office. I've had Bobby Knight call me a liar. They don't want people who are reporters around them because of the stuff that we can and do stir up when the circumstances warrant it.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, there's two other levels to this story that we haven't quite got into. And Brian is going to read some of these responses, but if we take a break.
Well, let's not kill this. I mean, it's a Twitter feud. These things happen,
but I want to get into the PC culture. This is the first time that I've ever been accused of being politically incorrect. And also...
It went beyond that, and I resent it behalf personally.
Okay, hold on.
They imply that you're some kind of a racist.
I don't think they went that far.
I want to talk about that. I also want to talk about... What's Cabrera's options here? Does he have a way to get healthy and be a great player again? And we'll talk about some of those aspects. But first, I got to remind you, corrective eye surgery is one of the greatest lifestyle improvements and breakthroughs of the century.
No.
In fact, LASIK is one of the safest surgeries in all of medicine, and it's changed the lives of millions of people by allowing them to get 20/20 vision or better without the hassle and poor performance of glasses and contacts. That's why I'm talking about Dr. Yaldo, our Red Shovel sponsor, the most experienced and honored eye surgeon in Michigan. 30,000-plus people have gotten a state-of-the-art custom LASIK. Most have actually gotten better than 20/20, called super normal vision. Imagine that, seeing better without glasses and contacts that you ever did with them. Takes a couple of minutes. It's painless. Get to throw all those contacts and glasses in the garbage. And as multifocal lens implants for people 45-plus forever frees you from those hated reading glasses. No more reading glasses, along with precision far vision. So you got nothing to lose by seeing Dr. Yaldo for a free evaluation. You should get an eye exam every 2 years anyway. Tell him No Filter sent you. Eli, Bob, or Denny, you'll get an additional discount. Call 1-800-398-EYES. That's 1-800-398-EYES, or go to yaldoeyecenter.com.
And you talk about painless. Calling our next sponsor, on our Red Shovel Network, David Hall and Hall Financial. You got to give them a call, folks, if you want a mortgage. If you're thinking about refinancing your home, Hall Financial would love to save you tons of money. You can email David at dhall@hallfg.com or call Hall Financial at 248-308-5000. Maybe it's your first home or your dream home. Maybe you want to take a home and money out of your home. Let me say that again. Maybe you want to take money out of your home. Give David Hall a chance and get lower rates, better options, and more personal attention. Lots of attention. I'm giving it to him right now. Industry average for a refi is 44 days, but Hall Financial average is 19 days, only 19 days. Take it from the customers. They have now over 800 five-star reviews. They will fight for you even if you've had a little dent or a big major dent in your credit history. Email at dhall@hallfg.com. That's David Hall, dhall@hallfg.com, or call 248-308-5000 and tell them No Filter sent you, along with Denny, Eli, and the guy in New York, Bob Page.
It's a great company, and David Hall's a great guy. And tolerating you reading his spots shows you
what
a fair-minded and decent human being he is. He's got a great company.
His business has gone up 40%.
Anyway, you are listening to the No Filter Sports Podcast. Okay.
Let's wrap this stuff up if you want to continue. Brandon, you're going to read a couple things? I mean, look, there's a lot of Twitter stuff on this feud between Eli and Chris McCoskey. I think
it's not a feud.
I don't think
it's a feud.
The hell it isn't. It's a Twitter feud.
I think it was just a bunch of cheap shots.
There's two sides to every story, and his side is that the guy is hurt. My side is hurt or not, he has to run. You can interpret it two different ways. But the thing that shocked me is I said quite simply, the icon that his Hispanic teammates idolize. So now, what is, when Sandy Koufax was big, Jews were very proud of him because he's right. One of ours. When Joe DiMaggio was a national hero, Italians were proud of him. When this little, I forget her name, is she's the girl that upset Venus, Corey Gauff beats Venus Williams. She's a little African-American girl, and Venus was her idol. So you think it meant maybe a little bit more to her because Venus inspired her to play? So how is that racist?
What is wrong with people? It's not.
But
it's ridiculous.
Thousands of responses. Read some of them, Brandon. Go ahead. Good.
Well, I can read some. I mean, there's
just plenty
two of them.
Just read three. Just right. read.
Here's one. Eli. You're a douchebag. Eli.
Oh, jeez.
All right. We got to do that one.
I don't get stuff like that does not make the air here when I'm – because if you're using vituperative language, if you're swearing at us, if you're using obscenities like that, you ain't going to make it. So let's pass on that.
No. Stop it. Two more.
Okay,
keep going.
I'm
stop.
Sure the other boomer clowns on Twitter would appreciate this extremely racist tweet.
Racist.
Miguel Cabrera gave us a triple crown in some amazing years. We're the worst team in the league now, so give him a break. Hey, Eli, weren't you once somebody?
Ooh.
Oh, shots. Well,
speaking of clowns, we just gave that clown, what 1 minute of our time?
We didn't mention his name, though.
We didn't mention his name, Bob.
So let me segue into another aspect of this. So I'm trying to think to myself, if I'm Cabrera, what might I do about my future, my health, this deplorable situation, because he doesn't belong here. He's a Hall of Fame player, and he's with a bunch of kids, and he's actually taking up space. But they owe him $124 million after this year. What are they to do? So I said, wouldn't it be interesting, were I Cabrera? I'd say, you know what, guys? I'm going to sacrifice 1 year, $30 million of this $124 million. I got plenty of dough. I'm going to take the year off. I'm going to rehab my knee. I'm going to lose some weight. I'm going to deal with my back issues. I'm going to get some great training and rest. And I'm going to come back and try and finish my career strong. I'll only be 37 years old by another 3-4 years at least. And I can achieve some of my goals and maybe help a team down the road. But he can't do that. Why can't he do that? First of all, the Players Association would never let him give back a single penny. So there's many levels to this story, including his injury, the situation the Tigers are in, and so many other things the state of this team. So many things go along with it. But what are Cabrera's options besides to just stagger in pain through the rest of his career and end in such disappointment? There's got to be a way to let him resurrect his career, his health, and become an icon again.
I'm not telling you he's not in pain, but if he's in so much pain, he just has to say, folks, I can't play anymore. because right now he's hurting the ball club in more ways than one, not only with his lack of physical ability, but his ability to be the leader that he's supposed to be. So he's 0 for 2. Sit down. Sit on your butt for the rest of the season. Sit on your butt until you are ready to play. Because right now...
And collect paychecks?
Got to collect your paycheck. They owe you the money. They signed the agreement. Yeah. Both sides got to honor it. So he's got to do something to earn the money, and I'm sure he will. If he can't play, they got to pay him. They have to pay him. And by the way, normally, 99% of the time, they have an insurance policy that covers these things, and the insurance company will have to
pay.
Yeah,
if it's proven that he can't play anymore, right. But obviously it's,
all right,
it's not
good. I am now right here channeling the ghost of the legendary Howard Cohen of Eastern Parkway, Brooklyn, New York. I can hear him speaking to us now. Wait, here he is. I think we've utterly exhausted this subject. Now, I had an interesting occasion on Wednesday afternoon because there was only one game. There was only one game in Major League Baseball Wednesday afternoon, so I got to watch it, and that was the Tigers at the White Sox.
Great game, boy.
They keep throwing Daniel Norris out there. This is the afternoon game, as I said. They keep throwing him out there. He used to throw 95, 96. Now his fastball's 90, 91, and people are shocked that he's getting beat all the time. The White Sox announcer, we got the WGN broadcast on the MLB Network, Jason Benedetti, I think you know who that is, said, and I quote, "It's hard to get a lot of strikes if you're up and out of the zone." The very next pitch, way high and outside to Jose Abreu. I didn't notice him at first. They showed a tight shot of Abreu. Now, he's a handsome, strong young man, but it looked to me like he might have been dying of AIDS or cancer.
Oh my God.
Can't even recognize this guy since he obviously got off roids. Have you seen what Abreu looks like now?
No.
He looks like just an average guy on the street.
I've seen him. I didn't notice the
Oh,
the
man, you got to check this out. Yeah, you really do. Or perhaps he just switched to a macrobiotic diet. I wouldn't know. What else on the Tigers? I got some more stuff for you boys.
Meanwhile, speaking of Jose Abreu, so the Tigers lose game one. I don't want to beat on them for losing again. They're leading a game two. I'm doing some other stuff last night. What happens? Boom, in the 12th inning.
The payoff to Abreu. You're going to left. Problem if it's in there, and it is gone. Jose Abreu walks it off for Chicago, and the White Sox win both games on this Wednesday. This one in 12.
So that was a three-run homer that, does it matter? By the way, after they started the season 7-3, they're 20-51 since. They're on a pace for 117 losses at the pace that they're playing.
I told you they might lose over 120. Yeah. Now, another thing that Benedetti said, because you guys got the Detroit broadcast back there, obviously, he and Steve Stone went nuts over James McCann, who doubled home a run off Norris in the first inning, had another RBI single, going to the All-Star game. And for the three of us, and especially for me, this was not a second guess. When Avila decided just to let him go?
That was dumb.
Just to let him go?
Yeah. That was a horrible mistake by this ball club for two things. Number one, he had a great arm from behind home plate. And secondly, he had great feet. A lot of people would notice that. But he's got great feet to move left and right behind the hitter. And why they let him go, I'll never, ever know.
He had a bad year.
He reminded me.
So what?
I know he had a down year. But so did everybody else that year. But to let go a guy who was actually running a pitching staff, he was doing a good job for this ball club. And why they let him go, I'll never know. I mean, other than, Avila's son went over there. I mean, I don't know. I'm not trying to put one
it's
and one
insane.
Together.
Yeah.
Avila's son went to Chicago, and Chicago's,
And don't forget letting a Jose Iglesias go, arguably the best defensive shortstop in baseball, for nothing.
Now there has to be a story there that we don't know about.
No, the story is
Al Avila, I would think. Denny, I got a mush softball for you head out of the park. So Steve Stone, unfortunately, a lot of our younger listeners probably don't remember what a great pitcher Steve Stone was. Should I say he was Jewish, Eli, or am I going to be called a racist?
Don't you dare mention his racial
So here's what Steve Stone said about this kid making his debut yesterday for the White Sox.
Yeah.
It says Dylan Cease is his name. He said, quote, Dylan had a 4.48 ERA in AAA when he was called up. Back in my day, we used to have to dominate our league before we'd get a call up to the majors. 4.48 ERA in AAA, and he's ready.
Well, the Tigers also debuted Tyler Alexander. Pitched okay in the second game, but his stats in Toledo were awful. But here's another thing I didn't mention. In the 10th inning of the game, too, Candelario was tossed out at third for the final out of the inning, which is something you're not supposed
to
do.
That's never supposed to happen.
That's never supposed to happen.
So never, ever.
In the first game, he did make one great defensive play, and he did hit a home run. Yep. But you guys probably saw, I think most of our listeners did too, this interview, this article that was written the other day by Jeff Seidel in the Detroit papers, where he's quoting Alan Trammell, who's been traveling all over the country looking at the Tigers' minor league prospects. They went on a list of every one, and the one word Tram used was consistency. They've got to be consistent. So Candelario hits a home run, makes a great play, and then does what you just said he didn't say. You got to be consistent, and they're just not, from the prospects up to the big league team.
Well, the consistency comes from doing things over and over and over and over again. The fundamentals, we've talked about it from spring training on, they're not there. The fundamentals of baseball are not there. They don't hit cutoff men. They don't steal bases. They don't know how to run and hit and run. There's two different ways of hitting and running. They just don't play the game well. And where the hell that went out of this organization? This organization used to really play the game well. You know, we used to be compared to the St. Louis Cardinals all the time. That's how good the Cardinals have always been. I don't know what happened to it. Well, I only know we don't have enough serious baseball guys in that know the game.
Well, it means the players that we're getting aren't fundamentally sound.
Double A and Triple A.
And so, and if I can say anything in fairness to Al Avila, when you're trading every good player and getting a dozen or so prospects, you can't see them all personally. And so, you know, there's a lot of guys that they've gotten that aren't necessarily going to make it and maybe didn't have the fundamentals.
And I'll tell you, they got till July 31st to make their trades. And,
they will.
I got a hunch Matthew Boyd is gone. I mean, that's the one guy I would keep right now.
Did you hear what Avila asked? Did you hear about this?
So
he's on the phone with the Yankees. Yeah, it was Gleyber Torres. This kid is going to be a superstar in Major League Baseball.
Is this a
16-year-old? No.
He's 22. Yankee second baseman.
They want the starting second baseman, and they're not going to. But they'll make the request more reasonable as time goes on. That's just the first.
But you know what? The Yankees just signed a kid 16 years old.
Yeah. Yeah.
16 years old.
So did the Tigers.
Isn't that crossing the line? 16 years old.
They're Cubans. They're Cubans.
But they're children. These are children.
In fact, Chris McCoskey reported on the Tigers signing the Cuban-born outfielder Roberto Campos. How's that, Bob?
Roberto Campos.
For $3 million. He's 16 years old. He defected from...
The Yankees got the top kid. I can't think of his name, but he's supposed to be utterly amazing. 16, he's already thrown
in. Yeah,
that's
the guy I'm just talking about.
Yeah.
It's supposed to be unbelievable.
Yeah.
But here, and you know, somebody made a quote, I read in one of the articles over the weekend, last weekend, was that this kid could be in the big leagues next year at 17.
Yeah.
I find that so hard to
I don't believe that.
I don't either.
Not at 17. I don't believe
that. So did either of you watch the –
No. It's one more. I got one more thing.
Go ahead.
Let me finish my deal for Boyd, okay, Matthew Boyd?
Yeah.
There's a guy in the Houston organization that they're talking about, a guy named Kyle Tucker, who is some player. And he's one of these guys that's going to hit 25 home runs as long as he stays healthy. He's already slammed 24 home runs in the Pacific Coast League this year. And he's got all kinds of great stats. They're trying to get him. Houston still hasn't given him up. Why didn't you go get this guy?
Get him for who? For Boyd or
something? A new trade. And why didn't you get him when you did the deal with Verlander?
Actually, this
was the number one guy.
They got three good prospects for Verlander. They got Frankie Perez, who unfortunately has been injured ever since. And Jake Rogers and Daz Cameron.
No, it was Franklin. It was Franklin.
Who did I say?
Right.
Rogers.
Oh, no. Frankie Perez, who's been injured ever since, and they got Jake Rogers and Daz Cameron. So they did okay in the
Verlander. Here's the thing. Look, we've discussed this before. If you're in a true rebuild, as these guys claim to be, what you want to do is you want to develop minor leaguers into good major league players. Now – They're talking about Jacoby Jones being traded. They've developed Matt Boyd. He's a pretty good major league pitcher. He'd be a lot better on a good ball club. But every time they – and even Nick Castellanos. Every time you get one of these guys that you develop, let's trade him. Let's trade him for more prospects.
Is Jacoby on the DL right now or not on the DL? He seems to be on every 2 weeks.
They put him on the –
He's IL now.
IL.
IL, DL, PL.
Speaking of this silly PC stuff, is it so humiliating to disabled people that we have to change the name of the DL? Is that an insult to say to somebody in a wheelchair?
No. Don't even make the suggestion.
I want to get into the ultimate PC of the July 4th weekend, which is the Kaepernick shoe.
Oh, goodness.
Can I bring up one other thing? How would you like to go through life with a name like, you ready for this, Aaron Bummer? The White Sox brought him in Wednesday afternoon to face the Tigers.
Aaron who?
Bummer. What a bummer.
Bummer.
Aaron, what's the last name? Bummer?
Bummer. Anyway, speaking of yes, this whole shoe is a bummer situation. But anyway,
it's going to be a different last name at one time.
I want to talk about that, but first I'm going to mention Hoot McInerney Star Lincoln.
No.
Where a pair of groundbreaking SUVs are impacting the 2019 automobile marketplace. Debuting this month is Aviator, luxury midsize SUV with 3-row, 7-passenger seating, must-see styling, large-scale touchscreens, total LED-lit environment, comfort and convenience. The technology, like its lane-keeping system and pre-collision assist, are best in class. Now, in May, as I told you, I got the Nautilus, another groundbreaking crossover from Lincoln. Safety and comfort features like adaptive cruise control, Copilot 360, all kinds of stuff. Amid it all is the Revel audio system, which customizes listening with multiple settings, including On Stage, for which I just blast away. And maybe the biggest comfort is Star's effortless ownership experience. Order Nautilus or any Lincoln online at starlincoln.com. Just roll in the Star and pick it up. It's Hoot McInerney's place. The Hooter is gone, but his family runs this great dealership, and the Star treatment there has never been better. Hoot McInerney, Star Lincoln, 12 and Telegraph in Southfield. And Pinnacle Wealth Management, Luke Nuwaki.
Our man, Luke.
Another Red Shovel sponsor for all of the shows. Says you've got to get your life in order. You need to call Luke at 248-663-4748. Have that discussion about how to protect your family when life happens, or talk about your retirement path and whether you're on the right one. He likes to cite Denny, who at 25 was on top of the world, won 55 games in 2 years. Probably wishes back then he put a little of that money aside and started to plan. But back then, I don't know if you had a guy like Luke and Pinnacle Wealth Management to take care of you.
Give him a call. I had the dogs.
Who are the dogs?
Yeah, at the track.
Oh, 248-663-4748. Give Luke a call. Great friend of our show and a good guy, too. Securities Investment Advisory Services offered through Royal Alliance Associates, Inc., member FINRA, SIPC, Royal Alliance Associates, separately owned, and other entities and or marketing names, products, and services referenced here are independent of Royal Alliance Associates, Inc. You are listening to the No Filter Sports Podcast. And now, Bob, would you like to open the mailbag?
Yes, we'll open the mailbag.
Da-da-da-da-da-da.
Gave us that nice outro. We want to remind you folks that who are listening in Detroit and Toledo on the radio over iHeartRadio that you are listening to a podcast. If you're tuning in late or you don't know that we actually go on with more of the show after the radio stations have to leave us, then go online to NoFilterSportsPodcast.com and other sources. You can hear the whole thing. First of all, in the mailbag, a quick thank you to both Panky Jenkins and Chris Back for writing wonderful things about us. We appreciate that. But there's no compliment that is quite the same as, again, I've said this before, as getting compliments from your peers. Now, are you ready for this? You guys know who Susan Whitehall is, I'm sure.
Yes,
right?
She writes for
legendary Detroit rock critic. You've been around a long time. Susan Whitehall writes in on Twitter, "The podcast is great." And when I wrote her back and said, "Well, thanks for listening. I didn't know you're a big sports fan." Here's what she wrote. "I have a soft spot for Denny because we once took my dad, a big baseball and Tigers freak, to see Denny play at some nightclub on Telegraph. Oh, sure. It was my dad's birthday, and he was sort of sickly after a heart operation. when Danny heard it was my father's birthday, he made a big fuss over him. It just made his day. Danny did not know who she was, didn't know she's in the media either. Isn't that nice? And then she refused to answer a follow-up question. Since you are the Susan Whitehall, tell us your professional opinion. How good a player was Danny on the keyboard?
Now,
the club, by the way, the club was the 24-karat club.
Is that where you played with Sphinx? With Leon?
Oh, no, no. That was another place up on Telegraph Road.
He did something with Leon.
Yeah, Leon. And let me tell you one thing about Leon. You want the story about Leon?
Was that the night that he stole the food, right?
Stole the... Yeah.
This is a great story. Go ahead.
Lamb chops.
He's playing with Leon Sphinx.
We're playing...
What do you mean he's playing with Leon Sphinx?
No, not playing with Leon Sphinx. Mr. B was his name, and he owned
this
place.
Mr. B's, yeah.
Right. And Mr. B's hired Leon to just entertain the customers. Hey, Leon, how are you? He'd sign autographs. He was great with the fans. Yeah. Mm-hmm. He was unbelievable with the fans.
Put his teeth in for it, too.
He was as good as I've ever seen. With his teeth or without his teeth, he was great. And I'm not making fun of him. Please, folks. We all have teeth problems. Right. And bottom line is, with Mr. B, he could have asked Mr. B for $50,000, and if Mr. B had the money, he'd have given it to him. Anything that he wanted, because Leon was so good with the people.
I had him on my TV show for a half hour years ago in Detroit. He's a great guy.
Wonderful.
Very funny. Doesn't necessarily mean to be funny, but Leon was a great guy.
Yeah, yeah.
So what happens is he went home every night about 7:30, 8 o'clock, and early evening, because he'd come on early afternoon. And it was 95 degrees outside, middle of July. And, I mean, it's hot as hell. And we've had rain that day, and the humidity is 300%. I'm telling you, it was just horrible. The air conditioner
was okay,
wasn't
right. Can we get it?
I just want to set this up right. So all of a sudden, we're all sitting around having dinner except Leon. Leon wasn't having dinner with us. And all of a sudden, we see him walking out the side of the building, going to the side door.
With his fur coat on?
Well, let me get to it. And he had this great big coat on. Now, it's 95 out. What the hell has he got this trench coat on? So it's sticking out in the left side of him, so we could barely see what the hell's going on. And Mr. B says, what's the matter with him? What's he got in his coat? And I said, Leon, come here a minute. Mr. B wants to talk to you a minute. Here he comes, and as he got to the table, you could see something start to slip. And quick, he grabbed it with two hands, and Mr. B says, what have you got? He says, what have you got? He says, I got lamb chops. He says, what are you going to do with them? He says, I was going to take them home and cook them. He says, take them home and cook them.
He's stealing
all you gotta do is all you got to do is ask. Just ask me for them. I will give them to you, but you can't take it out of the kitchen. You can't. You just can't. You're my guy. You're my guy, Leon. And then he told him right then and there, he says, Leon, don't come back tomorrow. Just a shit. I'm going to tell you, been around a lot of guys with the fans. Leon was absolutely the best.
Did you ever know that? By the way, folks, in the interest of full disclosure, we do have to get together from time to time with our producer, Brandon McAfee, after the show to make certain edits, you know, to make things a little more concise. So that story's not exactly going to sound this way, I don't think, Eli, when it comes out in the wash. You ever know that guy, that photographer?
By the way, it is in a book that we wrote together.
Go ahead.
Very good. You ever know that guy in New York, this ancient guy, he must have been 90, photographer, Jewish guy, hi somebody. I'm at a Yankees press conference at a restaurant right after I get to New York. Then they bring the food out. They got barbecued spare ribs. I look over at this guy. He's reaching into the spare rib tin pan. He's grabbing barbecued spare ribs with his hand, and he's stuffing them into his suit coat pocket. I thought, wow, welcome to New York.
But by the way, Eric Oglesby says, excellent podcast. I'm glad Denny is a part of it. He was my hero when I was a kid. Oh, geez. Keep up the good work.
Nice. Speaking of people in the industry, here's a good friend of – we both worked with him, of Eli's and mine, and I'm sure Denny, you know him as well. And Ken Calvert, the legendary
Detroit
rock and
roll DJ.
Is he writing you? KC says, I found some great audio of you just blowing up Kelly Tripucka back in the mid-'80s. It's hysterical. You never left anything on the table except your empty cereal bowl. Great hearing you again. The show sounds great. Thank you, KC. And even Greg Eno. The Detroit sports blogger wrote on Twitter, Detroit sports fans, you all should be listening to No Filter Sports Podcast with Eli Denny.
They already are. They're here with
us. Three old farts, but so am I. Highly entertaining stuff.
Speaking of old farts, on Monday, you're really going to want to hear this.
This is great.
I emailed Dick Vitale the other day because Bob quoted something he said on Twitter. I said, let's call Dick. You know, Bob and I... we're that old that we're the only reporters left I'm certain, in this market, except for Jerry Green.
How about me?
And you.
Jerry's been retired for years. He lives in Palm Desert.
Yeah, but you were busy in the early 70s when Dick Vitale came to town.
Yeah, but I still had him on my show later.
Okay. Yeah. Anyway, so we were there when Vitale came to town. Bob, in fact, I got my job at RIF, which was a big breakthrough for me in radio because he became the Piston coach and he'd done commentaries there. So our careers are intertwined. And I wasn't aware of this. Apparently, Bob, you turned him on to his agent at IMG and Vitale wrote you back and said.
That's how I got to New York. We're having a phone conversation one day many years ago. He said, so what are you going to do about your career? And I said, well, I don't know what you mean by that. I said, I have a nice home in Farmington Hills. My children are here. My girlfriend's an attorney in Detroit, and her family's here. Yeah, that's great. What are you going to do about your career? I said, yeah, I know. So he hooked me up with his agent in New York at IMG. They agreed to rep me. Madison Square Garden Network was just putting a news show on the air. The first guy they tried to get to anchor it was a guy named Keith Olbermann. Couldn't get out of his contract. Second guy was Scott Clark from Washington. Couldn't get out of his contract.
Placed me at Channel 7 years ago. Yeah.
Dick Vitale changed my life. And I've told him that before, how much I appreciate it.
Minute.
I just love Dick.
I've always been a great man.
He told you to go to IMG. Well, what's he think?
He called his agents at IMG and said, I got a guy in Detroit who's really good. You should look at him.
I thought he was thanking you.
Since you bring that up. So anyway, my agent, Peter Goldberg, has got a whole –
Is he Jewish, by the way? I mentioned that. I'm a racist.
Oh, yes,
go ahead.
Is it Goldberg or O. Goldberg?
Yeah, he used to tell me, he says, I'm walking on the street one day in Manhattan and some guy yells out, hey, Goldberg. I turn around. I notice 10 other people turn around too at the same time. So anyway, his boss says, we got to find somebody for the MSG job. You got 100 tapes here. Get rid of them. Bring me anybody you think is really good. So Peter looks at me. He comes in with the tape. And his boss says to him, okay, let's see. What do you got right here? Some guy in Detroit. Yeah, right. Let's see. Goldberg punches up the tape. He's got it cued to the wrong spot on the show.
Oh.
The first thing his boss sees is Ron Cameron beached with food splotches all over his shirt.
Be nice.
Pointing at the camera. And so his glance says to Peter Goldberg, his boss says, get out of here and get back and get me. No, that's not the guy. That's not the guy. Wait. Oh, that's the guy.
Anyway, let's move on and talk about enough about Bob, right?
Enough about Bob.
Anything else you'd like to tell us about?
Not enough about Denny, because we got some good questions for Denny today, too, by
anyway, so we're going to have Dick Vitale on Monday. We're all
you know, Johnny Football's back? I'll tell you about it later, but Johnny Football's on his way back again.
Back to the XFL.
Why do they still call him that? Listen, when's the last time he actually played football?
By the way,
he didn't.
I think I was the only one yesterday, which would have been Wednesday, that watched the entire Netherlands Sweden game, so I would know more
as our
girls take them on Sunday. And by the way, Bob, I know you love British soccer, so here is what the announcer said at the half.
At halftime, it is the Netherlands 0, Sweden 0 in the semifinal.
Yes, it was 0-0. I watched 45 minutes.
No, it wasn't. You're lying again.
And then I watched 45
minutes. It was 0-0?
And then I watched 45 minutes later, and guess what it was?
We are none the wiser in terms of knowing who the USA will face in Sunday's final. 0-0 between the Netherlands and Sweden after 90 minutes.
Yes, it was 0-0 after 90 minutes. Finally, the Netherlands won. But
here's the thing. You know, Eli, I did actually try to watch the previous game, the U.S. versus England, and I sat through the first 20 minutes. There was only one scoring chance in 20 minutes, which wasn't even a great scoring chance. Then the U.S. scored its first goal. It's so slow. It's so dull.
I've enjoyed it.
And by the way, the Netherlands midfielder, Danielle van Donk, D-O-N-K, has predicted Alex Morgan, one of our stars with our team, will not score against them in the World Cup final on Sunday. I'll guarantee you I take that bet in the New York second.
I'm predicting nobody scores in the World Cup
final. No.
We're going to win. I'm going to win 1-0 or 2-1.
Both U.S. goals were great goals, I thought. Both headers by Kristen Presser and Alex Morgan.
Yep.
And by the way, so Alex Morgan is a very attractive young woman. She's 30.
Would she be interested in you?
She's married. She's married, so maybe she's married, but maybe not. I don't know.
You know what I'm getting at.
Yeah, but that's sexist, and that's
yes, whatever
it is.
But this is no
so. But anyway, so there's a close up of her early in the game, and I call my wife over. I said, "Does she have makeup on?" And my wife says, "Well, yeah, she's done her eyebrows. She's done her eyes. She's got lipstick on.
How can you tell?
These women put makeup on to play a sporting event.
I noticed that, too. They better.
Some of them, yeah, yeah.
I noticed that.
They're competing against all these other women across the world. So they're trying to do the best they can.
Just remarking and everything.
You know what's amazing? Most of the girls are very, very, very attractive.
They are.
They really are.
They're in great shape. So
is it interesting how our United States women dominate international soccer competition and, with apologies to Canada, international hockey competition, and our men do not? Very interesting.
So in watching all this stuff, and I'm enjoying soccer as much as possible, and I did play high school soccer. I have a certain appreciation for the game. What drives me crazy, and tell me if we've talked about this or not, is they don't have a stopwatch. So then 90 minutes will be gone.
No, that's changed. They now know how much is an extra time. But you're right.
Because then.
But we don't.
Time out. The players don't either. The players don't either because they're.
They changed that a few years ago. It used to
then
be.
How do they know?
How do they know what time it is? They always kept the clock, but they didn't tell anybody how much time was left in the extra session.
But I don't think
I
don't think their clock is as accurate as the referees are.
Here's what happens. Yeah. So 90 minutes goes by, then they put plus 7 because there's 7 minutes of injury time and stoppages, whatever. But then during that next 7 minutes, there's more extra time because a person got, and so now the game can go on an indeterminate length. What is in our sports, they put 0.2 seconds on the clock. You gear your strategy how much time. Imagine setting up the last play of a game and not knowing how much time is left. Why can't they get a damn stopwatch and stop it when the ball goes out of bounds?
May not be in a budget.
Why can't they eliminate offsides in soccer, which would make a lot of games 5-4 and very exciting? Why can't they at least give the goalkeeper a chance by moving that dot back another 5
Well,
or 10
then points. Let me ask that question good with point. A question. Why don't they do that with football? You know, there should not be an offsides. You got to have an offsides.
Yeah, you do, Bob. And by the way, England, with a tough break, they were offsides by about 6 inches
on the one goal. Barely.
And then the penalty kick that our goalie, Alyssa Knocker, stopped was,
Alyssa Knocker.
It was a miracle.
Whatever it is. N-A-E-H-E-R. Nayer? Nayer? Okay. Nayer?
It was
Nayer.
A miracle. What a play.
Well, you have to guess which way.
Well, it's an anticipatory play, yeah.
So she anticipated the right direction, and the kick was not very hard and not very much in the corner. So she's being credited with the greatest save of all time, and frankly, I think any of us could have made that save. But
if you were going that way.
If we were going that way.
Otherwise, you look like a complete ass.
And then Morgan pretending to sip tea when she scored her goal.
I don't understand that.
I thought she was smoking. She put it up to her mouth. I thought she was smoking a joint.
The only thing
I was disappointed to find out it was the tea thing, but whatever.
But the only thing I can think of with the tea thing is that's what they do in the afternoons in the UK.
I think that's ethnic. What would you call her?
Sounds like racism.
Nationalistic racism.
Cultural appropriation.
Ethnocentrism.
Would you like an update on David Ortiz?
Not from you, thank you.
Yeah, you do. You want it?
Would you like
me.
An update on who actually played in the Detroit PGA Tour stop last week?
No, not me. Listen, police say a suspected drug trafficker offered to pay $30,000 for the shooting that only wounded baseball slugger David Ortiz. So what they're implying is the reason they didn't kill him is because he didn't pay all the money. They paid only $10,000 to the people who were hired to arrange the killing of Sixto David Fernandez. His cousin was the guy who got the $10,000. Apparently, he didn't share it with
anybody. Someday we'll find out. Was it mistaken identity, or was it a hit by a drug dealer because Ortiz
they
was
don't
screwing
know.
His wife?
I think they still know what the real story is, and I'm telling you, it's a story that I reported to begin with. I'm telling you, now they've arrested over 14 people they've arrested in this case. And listen to this. They're searching for others. They might as well arrest the whole country.
And now to quote the great Bryant Gumbel, and now let's move on.
Well, I was going to say that
one of the
final note on the soccer, there's really more than just a World Cup going on here. There's the Rapinoe, Trump, and now Ali Krieger not going to the White House thing. This has become political. The women's soccer team now represents the left.
They have the right to represent anything they want to represent?
They can. Absolutely they can. But it's become a political fight. Trump made a good point. He said Rapinoe should win before she talks, finish the job. But he says he's still going to invite the team. Ali Krieger came out in defense of Rapinoe, saying she also will not go to the White House.
Well, and isn't Rapinoe's girlfriend, Sue Bird, legendary basketball player, and she came out and she ripped Trump in support of obviously her wife or girlfriend, whatever it is.
That they, and the reason that Krieger and Rapinoe mention in terms of Trump is that I don't, that the administration fights against LGBT and the most vulnerable among us. So it's become a political battle. And as Rapinoe said a few months ago, saying she wouldn't go to the effing White House if the U.S. won.
You never know what's going to happen between now and then. If they win, I just have a feeling they're all going to the White House. I just have that feeling. I mean, to be in the White House.
They're not.
I'm telling you.
They're not, Danny.
I'm telling you something good might happen here. If you got a chance to go to the White House, you got to go. I don't care who you are.
You know what, Danny?
You got to go.
Well, that's your position, and that's fine.
Put $10 on the table. I'll give you 100-to-1 odds, $1,000, that neither Rapinoe or Ali Krieger go to the White House. I'll bet anything. There's
There'll
no way
others
in the
who
world.
Won't either. There'll be other. It's like every year when the
is this
NBA,
on video? I'm putting the $10
the
up right
NBA
now.
The NBA has its NBA finals, and we know the winner of the league championship. A lot of those guys do not go to the White House. I'm not even sure they're even invited anymore.
Brent.
Obviously, most of the team, the league is black, and most of those people do not support the president.
For the record, I just gave Brandon my $10, and if they go to the White House, I get $1,000.
Yes, you do.
I'll mediate.
Okay, and by the way, we are going to talk momentarily.
Yeah, you're going to give me that $1,000.
Yeah, we got more stuff.
we have to say goodbye to our radio listeners.
I know.
We're going to stick around and talk about Kaepernick and more.
Yes, thank you. The show.
So, thank you, everyone on the radio. You have been listening to the No Filter Sports Podcast. Okay, on we go, onward and upward. So this Kaepernick story I find very disturbing. And the reason I find it disturbing,
why now,
is that, come on now, it's the Revolutionary War. We beat England. It made our country our country. But Kaepernick questioned.
Then had to beat him again in 1812 just to make sure they understood.
But the shoe, I guess it was along his line, had the Betsy Ross 13-star flag, the original. We had 13 colonies. We fought the British. We beat them, and we became American. Yes, America. Yes, it's true, or the U.S. It's true that our forefathers had slaves. We know all that, but do we have to destroy any this is different than the Confederate War stuff. That was half of the country seceding against our Union, trying to destroy our country to protect slavery. That's a different story. I can understand being upset about the honoring the Confederate stuff to a degree, but this is ridiculous.
Two things. Number one, how many pairs of these shoes that they made, and these shoes have now become a collector piece, and they'll sell a zillion of them.
Well, maybe so. By the way, so Governor Doug Ducey of Arizona tweeted he would pull back state support for $184 million Nike facility in Goodyear that would employ 500 people. Quote, Nike has bowed to the current onslaught of political correctness and historical revisionism. I hate to say it, but I agree with him. And Herman Cain ran for president.
Herman.
What did you do? Did he run into, was it 2012 he ran? 2012. He goes, 16, he tweets, this is beautiful. Just so you know how it works, nothing can happen in America if Colin Kaepernick doesn't like it. But come on now, as the Betsy Ross
House. The news media keeps quoting this guy. We in the media keep bringing it up. Colin Kaepernick, I think, would probably just fade away naturally if whatever he did wasn't news.
The whole kneeling.
Interpreted by the media.
Right. The whole kneeling was not an anti-military thing. It wasn't an anti-flag thing.
Right.
It was to point out racial oppression by police in America, and it was made into something much more political by our president. And so that's what we're having now. And it works the other, and it's just working the other way. It's the other way around, that now the left is, or the, should I say the left or the liberals are making a big deal over this flag. Let's honor America. It's July 4th. Come on.
Meanwhile, fellas, an interesting article in the Miami Herald on this 4th of July week, and I know you guys all remember this story. Ex-Dolphin offensive lineman Richie Incognito, former Stanford All-American lineman Jonathan Martin right out of football by bullying him. Now, this guy Incognito is a complete nut.
Yeah, he is.
Arrested twice, including once for allegedly threatening his own grandmother. And then after chucking dumbbells at another man inside a Boca Raton gym, you remember back to 2014 when Richie Incognito, because he was pissed about being suspended, smashed up his own $300,000 Ferrari with a baseball bat? Now, here's the rub. NFL has a brand new mental health program, and it mandates that every team retain a behavioral health clinician focused on supporting these guys. In other words, here's the main staff shrink, you know, if you need antidepressant prescriptions, whatever. And so guess what? Somebody's going to take a chance on Ricky on Incognito again because of this new law. And can you guess what would be the most perfect spot in the NFL for any outlaw to wind up?
The Oakland Raiders.
Absolutely.
Exactly.
Well, this is, listen, depression is a serious issue in the world and in America. The NBA has taken steps for it. They did the two PSAs with DeMar DeRozan and Kevin Love, talking about their battles with depression. The lifestyle in the NBA doesn't really help that situation with the odd hours, the odd eating, the lack of regularity. Can add to depressive feelings. So I don't think that's a bad thing at all. I don't think that's being overly protective.
This is a bad thing. Here's our friend of the show, one of the many, Jim Mulhern, who wrote me the other day and wanted our take on all the concussions in football. He says his son was concussed his freshman year in high school football, and he has not played football since. Kenny Stabler, we all remember the snake, suffered from CTE and Alzheimer's. But his family is not going to collect any money from the NFL's class action concussion settlement. Disaster for hundreds of former players. Now, what happened?
Why can't he get the money?
Remember, they had a class action suit against the NFL.
Right.
And in terms of the lawyers working this thing out and settling it, they decided that only players who died between July 7th, 2014 and April 22nd, 2015 were eligible for a cut of that settlement. Stabler died on July 8th, 2015, a little less than 3 months after the window closed. So Kenny Stabler's family, he obviously wants some kind of compensation for what football did to this great player. I interviewed Stabler, great guy, too.
What the hell difference does it make?
To Kenny Stabler?
Well, I don't understand it.
I don't know.
Probably just the technicalities of the settlement. That's all.
The lawyers get together around the big table and they hash out dates.
Yeah,
and
but the settlement's got to be equitable for everybody who's been impaired or hurt by the
you would think.
Yeah.
This concussion thing, it's big in hockey, and Gary Bettman still denies that it's an element of hockey. Yeah, and I tell you, there's been a lot of research about women soccer players. Now, I have a hard time watching boxing since the whole concussion thing and Ali and everything. And they say that this is very dangerous, and I see these players heading the ball.
Yeah, the headers.
What a weird game. You can't use your hands. You got to use your head instead of your hands. It's just wacky.
I saw one of the American girls the other day use her header trying to score the other night. Man, it hurt me to watch it.
Yeah.
Man, I'm going to tell you.
The ball's coming hard from a long distance.
It's not a soft ball.
And in the Netherlands Sweden game, there's a hard kick on the baseline, and this girl just put her head down and knocked it out of bounds. So.
And they keep going.
Yeah. By the way,
hey, is Juwan Howard in trouble already?
Oh, what a great story.
Go ahead.
Well, no. Howard wants Mo Wagner's little brother, and he was on an interview show. What show? He was on the Jim Rome show, filled in by a guest, the Sklar brothers, who are hilarious. And then one point in the interview, he was asked about Wagner's situation. He didn't say his name specifically, but he talked about him. He said that, you know, we hope that, you know, we've been communicating over there. We'd love to have him on campus, wear a Michigan jersey just like his brother. You're not allowed to talk about the guy until you've signed him. But this is just one of those ridiculous rules. Did you see UConn basketball put on probation the other day because for over a period of years, the men's basketball team's student managers attended off-season pickup games by the players to keep track of stats, which are then given to the coaching staff. So in other words, they can play pickup games, but the coaches aren't allowed to watch. managers can't watch. It's
this
called
happened,
accountable.
This happened when former UConn star Kevin Ollie was head coach there.
Right.
And he was fired over some of the recruiting violations. I don't know. I would suggest to you this is what the NCAA actually found they could hang him on.
Right.
There was a lot of stuff I heard going on in that UConn program when Kevin Ollie was there.
Yeah.
Well, don't you think there's a lot of things going on in a lot of programs?
Because
I mean, everybody
it's arbitrary rules.
Everybody operates in the gray area.
Yeah.
I really believe
that. Because the rules are ridiculous.
Absolutely.
And here's what's going on in the Michigan football program now.
In 1 second, there's only one way to get over all of that. Pay them.
Well, yeah.
Pay the kids.
You got to pay the kids. But
here's what's happening in the Michigan football program, as I started to say.
I'm sorry, Bob.
On Tuesday, Jimmy Harbaugh got a commitment from a very speedy wide receiver named Roman Wilson.
Yes.
59 at his position, ran a 4.37 40, one of the fastest kids coming out of high school in the country. Roman Wilson happens to be from, are you ready, Hawaii. Has he ever been to Ann Arbor from December through April?
Well,
Roman Wilson?
I don't know if he'll come back.
This could be the next transfer out of Michigan.
Can you imagine?
Harbaugh loses a lot of guys every year.
Can you imagine the receiving core? And it's because they got the new offensive coordinator, Gattis. And by the way, Harbaugh, I understand, is going to give up the entire offensive play calling
from
himself to this guy. Harbaugh has proven a failure in calling the plays. He's done. Now with the receiver, you got this Roman Wilson. You got Tariq Black coming back. You got Donovan Peoples-Jones. You got Nico Collins. They're going to have an amazing receiving core. And hopefully Shea Patterson
can. But Harbaugh was a good quarterback. You would think some of that would transfer over with him, wouldn't you?
Yeah, but he runs up the most boring offense. How many? We watched my old college roommates last year, and every series begins with what was the running backs? Higdon going in the line for a yard and a half.
Yeah.
Gives him second and eight, then it's third.
Typical Michigan football.
Oh, God.
Right?
Under Bo, anyway. It's not supposed to be under Jimmy.
Yeah.
But that's the way it's been. I ran into a guy I know casually here yesterday wearing his big Block M Michigan hat. And I was kidding him about their almost singular lack of success against Michigan State football a number of years. And he said, yeah, I'm so embarrassed. I said, don't be, because it's over. Michigan won last year. Jimmy Harbaugh is going to right this ship in that sense. They will begin to dominate Michigan State in football again. Question is, if he doesn't beat Ohio State this coming season, is Harbaugh going to be around to see it?
Well, Michigan's got a great recruiting class. They're ranked fourth in the country.
Got
to
beat Ohio State this year.
Yeah,
they
got
a new coach, and this is a, you know.
I was looking at the, although we can talk about recruiting a lot more later, but I went on rivals.com. Michigan State has 11 signees, only one four-star, 10 three-star. Michigan's got 12 four-stars, seven three-stars. Interesting about the Michigan recruiting class, of the 20, only three are from Michigan. There are more players from Baltimore than there are from the entire state of Michigan. I don't know what that says, but it's a little goofy.
It means there's a lot of talent in Baltimore.
As I've said it before, what happens is that D'Antonio and his staff go into places like Columbus, Ohio, and they find a two-star running back that Ohio State doesn't want, and they sign him and they coach him up. That kid's name is Le'Veon Bell.
They go into
West Michigan and find a two-star quarterback. Even Central Michigan, Western, and Eastern, I don't think, wanted the kid. They think, I see something in this guy. Let's coach him up. That was Kirk Cousins. And previously to Harbaugh at Michigan, with the incompetence they had in the coaching staff, they're still recruiting these number one star players, and they never seem to develop at Michigan.
Yep.
Again, I think that's ending. I really do.
Speaking of ending.
Ending.
Hey, make sure you listen on Monday after that.
Dick Vitale.
We're going to keep him on for a long time. Just let Dickie V go. All right, we'll see you
then. I'm excited about it, baby.
Hey, bye.
Enjoy the rest of your July 4th weekend and whatever you happen to listen to us.
And drive careful. A lot of loonies out there this weekend.
All right.